It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
I feel, as I said this morning to start the morning show, much like Rush Limbaugh felt after great victories, I feel this celebratory spirit. I feel light of heart, like a load off the shoulders. Oh, sure, we can look at the negative news, but it's a day to celebrate. It's a day to celebrate Liz Cheney being defeated, but it's a day to celebrate so much more than that. That's one congressional seat out of 435. And it's not even flipping a seat from a Democrat to a Republican so we can boot Nancy Pelosi. But it's bigger than that. You see, to take back this country, we're not just going to have to win in November over the Democrats. We're going to have to do something much harder. We're going to have to root out the cancer in our own party. And the problem is, the cancer's in the C-suite. The cancer runs the party. The Bush, Cheney, Romney, McCain, cabal, they're in charge. There's way more of us than there are of them. But you've seen Braveheart. And we're going to have to suffer a lot. We're going to have to work harder. They're better funded and better organized. They've got the levers of power. But victories like this prove it can be done. One congressional district in Wyoming. That's it and that's all. But they just sent the entire nation a message. Let's dig into what happened. Liz Cheney. Her daddy, Duck Cheney, from Wyoming, went on to be the vice president, very wealthy. Democrats came after him. Republicans closed ranks behind him. He is the ultimate swamp creature, making millions and millions of dollars in politics. This man's been around for 50 years in politics. In and out of politics, in the corporate world. He's part of the marrying of the Republican Party with the woke corporation. He's part of the, let's be friendly with the Democrats. They're actually our friends. We're the Washington Generals. They're the Harlem Globetrotters. But, hey, the Washington Generals still get paid. And we can, too. And everything was going great until Trump came along. That's the problem. The problem is the people were no longer willing to be told who they'll vote for. Karl Rove can no longer tell the people who they'll vote for. See, Wyoming is flyover country for the bi-coastal elites. They go from D.C. to New York to L.A. They may stop in Chicago or Miami. But they don't stop in Wyoming. Why would they? Bunch of rural ranchers and gun owners. There's not even a good Starbucks in town. That's how these people think. They've never been to Wyoming and never would. Why would they? So those people's opinion doesn't matter. They don't really know what those people's opinion is. And they don't care. And they don't want to be told. But they had to be told this time. Because Harriet Hageman ran against Liz Cheney. And so as that race started shaping up, Liz Cheney, who never went back to her district, Hageman, who was beloved there, local people, you know, people that don't matter. The guy that owns the local insurance shop. The realtor that everybody knows in town. The pastor. The school principal. The baseball coach and the football coach. The guy that runs the small engine repair shop that everybody knows. The deacon at the church. All these people said, Liz Cheney's forgotten who we are. She's over there with the Democrats. She's trying to take down Trump, and I got a Trump sign on my barn. So big, since I live on the highway, so big, everybody drives by it can see it. How come Liz Cheney's leading the January 6th commission against me, against Trump. I'm Trump. Trump's me. She hates me. People started internalizing what Liz Cheney was saying, and that's what we've got to get people to do. Internalize what the message of the Democrats and the Republican establishment is. It ain't about Trump. When they're done with Trump, they're coming for DeSantis. They're not attacking him yet. Not like they will. A lot of Republicans think, well, let's do DeSantis. You get all the good without any of the crazy. You know, he's crazy because the media's told him that. You know, DeSantis is good because, you know, Trump's got so much baggage. DeSantis will have baggage too. Because he'll be what's standing in between them and Hillary or whoever they pick. And at that point, all of a sudden, DeSantis, the bloom will be off the rose. And so many of these people will say, but what happened? I thought DeSantis was, oh, it turns out he got a DWI. Or turns out he stole a hamburger from the kid next to him. Or, oh, it turns out there was a divorce. Or I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. They're going to dig it up. They already have it, but they're not going to drop it. Because they don't want DeSantis, who they see as the one opportunity to give them something other than Trump. So they don't mind DeSantis rising up if that will give an alternative to Trump. That's where they are. But the minute Trump's out of the way, then they set the sights on DeSantis. Well, what happened in Wyoming? I tallied it up earlier. 163, 68, 70, 172,000 votes cast in the Republican primary, more or less. 172,000. Harriet Hageman, endorsed by Trump. Trump got very involved in that. Liz Cheney is leading the January 6th commission against him. And by the way, let me go back to this. There are several theories now emerging based on the Trump camp's comments that one of the reasons Trump was holding on to documents he had declassified was that the archival commission that wanted the documents back, they're all Democrat partisans. You realize all those agencies are staffed top to bottom with Democrats. Clinton loyalists, Obama loyalists. There are no Republicans in there. Republicans don't go to work for the government and stay there their entire lives. So these people are all Democrats. And the story goes they were feeding documents from Trump to the January 6th Commission. They were seeking documents that they might be able to use as part of Liz Cheney's little lynch mob. And Trump said, enough. No, I'm not doing that anymore. When January 6th is over, when y'all stop with your little lynch mob, then I'll give you the stuff that you claim you want. But you don't need this. You don't need it. And by the way, it ain't the nuclear codes. The same people who told you it was an Inflation Reduction Act until the minute they passed it and then immediately said it's health care, tax, funding IRS, and climate, they don't even call it Inflation Reduction Act anymore. They called it that because that made people concerned about inflation think, well, they're doing something about inflation. No, they're not. They're adding to inflation. They're making it worse. Those same people lied to you. They lied to you about the vaccine. They lied to you about the wars. They lied to you about everything. And now they're lying to you about this.
This is the Michael Berry Show.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
While Cap Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. And when that sheriff said, I'm sending you to jail, Wildcat raised his head and cried, oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in, let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in, let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, me in just
let's talk about
me
Wyoming, shall we?
Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky.
Wyoming is bordered to the north and northwest by Montana. People often get those states confused. To the east, is South Dakota and Nebraska. I always find that surprising. Did you realize that Wyoming was south enough to be bordered by Nebraska? Idaho to the due west. Utah to the immediate southwest. And south of Wyoming, Colorado. Its population in the 2020 census was just 576,851, making it the state with the lowest population. The most populous city in the state and the state capital, Cheyenne, with only 64,000 people. That's its biggest city. Wyoming has two U.S. senators, but only one congressman. Because as you remember, the Connecticut Compromise was every state would get two senators in the upper chamber, the Senate, and the members of the House of Representatives, the lower chamber, would be apportioned based on population. Wyoming only has enough for one congressman, and that was Liz Cheney. Agriculture is huge. They grow barley, hay, livestock, sugar beets, wheat, and wool. It was actually the first state to allow women the right to vote and the right to assume elected office. First state to elect a female governor. That's why its nickname is the Equality State. Interestingly, they're now trying to criticize the Liz Cheney opposition as somehow it's misogynist. She was replaced by a woman, and she was elected in the first place. And the only thing she had going for her was she was Dick Cheney's daughter. Try something else, how about? The Republican presidential nominee has carried the state of Wyoming every year since 68, when Richard Nixon first did. Well, as the Babylon Bee noted, after a critically acclaimed first season that was allegedly watched by a few people, the producers of the January 6 hearings have sadly confirmed that their star, Liz Cheney, will not be back for season 2 of the January 6th hearings. So what happened? Well, people have grown to understand that we can take back our country. Look at what happened in Virginia. On the issue of education in the schools, Glenn Youngkin pulled off an upset. This is the recipe for how you win. Trump comes in and fires people up, but Hageman ran a good campaign. She got 66.3% of the votes, 113,000. Liz Cheney got 28.9% with 49,000. Now you might say to yourself, Hageman got 66%, Cheney got 28. So Hageman got almost 2.5 times the percentage of votes, right? But what you have to drill down to see is only 7,000 votes, actually not quite 7,000 votes, were cast in the Democrat primary against it. Where do you think those votes went? The Democrats didn't vote in the Democrat primary. They voted in the Republican primary. So Liz Cheney only got 28% of the votes in the Republican primary. But you have to figure how many Democrats did what they were told to do. They went and voted in the Republican primary. Because Liz Cheney is the cudgel they use against Trump. You know, she's a Republican, and she's brave and courageous, and she hates Trump. And that requires courage and bravery, so said Dan Crenshaw. Just like Kinsinger, who's now out of the House. How's that? Crenshaw's endorsements are not looking good. My goodness. Everybody he calls brave and courageous because they hate Trump ends up losing. You starting to get the idea that you're on the wrong side of the Republican Party here, bud? So Hageman didn't just beat her 66-28. She beat her way worse than that because of the 49,000 votes Liz Cheney got. We know a good percentage, maybe more than half, actually came from Democrats. CNN talked to a Democrat voter, some random Democrat voter from Wyoming last night. Her name is Pat Lauber. And she switched parties to vote for Cheney. Why? To save the Republic. Listen to this.
You are a lifelong Democrat. Why are you voting for someone as conservative as Congresswoman Cheney?
Well, it isn't because of any policies that she has supported, but I think it's literally a vote to help save the Republic. I see her as a person of courage and integrity who has told the truth that Donald Trump lost the election and yet tried with lies and manipulation to stay in office anyway.
Pat, isn't it so interesting? I mean, just the way, you know, you represent the Democrat here, and, you know, we just talked to Myrna about this, that you're willing to, both of you are willing to overlook her position on the issues. You don't think that her position on the issues is as important. Is that true?
That is true. I think you can always write a letter, talk to your representative's office, and argue policy. But when it comes to having a free and fair election, that is essential, and that has to be upheld. I don't want Wyoming's lone representative to be someone who is beholden to an individual who demands absolute loyalty no matter what tricks he's up to. And I think that Harriet Hageman knows perfectly well that the election was not stolen, that it was not fraudulent, but she says what Trump wants to hear and therefore got his endorsement. I think that's pure ambition.
And then what do you think is next for her? Would you vote for her for president?
I doubt that very much. I don't think that I would.
So you would vote for her to save the Republic for congressman because the Republic hinges on her being in Congress? Listen carefully to what they say. They're telling you what they really believe, even though they don't realize it. They're telling you, as she said at the beginning of that interview, they don't care what Biden does as president. Biden lived up to what they wanted out of him the first day he took the oath of office and Donald Trump left. His job was to be not Donald Trump. And he did it. That's why you're frustrated that your friends who voted for Joe Biden refused. The man is demented. He's falling down. He's stumbling. He's an idiot. He's a fool. So what? Because when they're honest, they didn't vote for him to do anything anyway. His whole job was to not be Donald Trump. And every day he's in office, he's not Donald Trump. Liz Cheney's whole job, the Democrats would vote for her for this, is to hound and harass and menace Donald Trump. They hate Trump and they hate you. Understand that. Because if you don't, it's to your peril. Once you understand they're your enemy, they've declared they're your enemy, now you can begin the fight. Democrat voter that CNN interviewed. I want you to listen to her conversation, and then I want you to listen to the end where CNN says, would you vote for her for president? Brian Stelter last week, I think it was Stelter, asked her, has your dad encouraged you to run for president? And she tried to play coy, like, oh, she may run for president. She's about to get her ass whipped in her congressional race. She can't win Wyoming, the district her daddy's from and where she's the congressman with all the advantages and all the Bush money behind her. Yeah, sure, she's going to run for president. You're going to trot out Avenatti again? Anybody who doesn't like Trump, they're going to run for president and they're going to win. So here we are. Listen to this interview and listen toward the end. Listen toward the end as they ask her, would you vote for her for president? And this is going to be a theme. They're going to try to make Liz Cheney a thing. And she won't get any votes. She won't get any votes at all. But she'll get a lot of media coverage. And people won't realize, well, she's never going to get any votes. But the whole time, Liz Cheney's running. Remember, she doesn't like Trump. And that'll give her a platform to trash Trump, which is all she wants to do. All right, listen to this.
You are a lifelong Democrat. Why are you voting for someone as conservative as Congresswoman Cheney?
Well, it isn't because of any policies that she has supported, but I think it's literally a vote to help save the Republic. I see her as a person of courage and integrity who has told the truth that Donald Trump lost the election and yet tried with lies and manipulation to stay in office anyway.
Pat, isn't it so interesting? I mean, just the way, you know, you represent the Democrat here, and, you know, we just talked to Myrna about this, that you're willing to, both of you are willing to overlook her position on the issues. You don't think that her position on the issues is as important. Is that true?
That is true. I think you can always write a letter, talk to your representative's office and argue policy. But when it comes to having a free and fair election, that is essential and that has to be upheld. I don't want Wyoming's lone representative to be someone who is beholden to an individual who demands absolute loyalty no matter what tricks he's up to. And I think that Harriet Hageman knows perfectly well that the election was not stolen, that it was not fraudulent, but she says what Trump wants to hear and therefore got his endorsement. I think that's pure ambition.
And then what do you think is next for her? Would you vote for her for president?
I doubt that very much. I don't think that I would.
The cadence and the tedious way that woman speaks, about 25% of the men in our audience have an ex-wife who sounds exactly like that, and they couldn't wait till the kids got out of high school they could get out of the house from her. CNN is desperate for Liz Cheney to run for president, and they will cover her every day if she does, because that will be an opportunity for her to just trash Trump. They don't think she's going to win. They don't want her to win. They don't care if she wins. That's not the point. The point is her very being. All she does is trash Trump. So that's why they promote this. She's going to run for president. Listen to this.
We're learning this morning exactly what Liz Cheney's next steps are going to be for now. Overnight, her campaign filed papers with the Federal Election Committee to create a leadership PAC that allows her simply to raise and spend money traveling across the country to do what she wants to do to take on the former president. She's calling the leadership PAC the Great Task. But she said on the Today Show this morning just a short time ago about her plans for 2024.
Are you thinking about running for president? That's a decision that I'm going to make in the coming months, Savannah. I'm not going to make any announcements here this morning, but it is something that I'm thinking about, and I'll make a decision in the coming months.
So when she says the coming months, that means after she leaves her congressional seat. So for the next 4 months, she is going to be in Congress, of course, as the vice chair of the January 6th committee. And I'm told by people familiar with her thinking is that she does not want to make an announcement right now as the committee is still doing its work. She, of course, is leading the charge on that. But if she would decide to run, that would come next year. And again, back to the title of the Great Task. Of course, she is referring to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address when he talked about the challenges facing the country, the Great Task. And that was in her speech last evening as well, a speech that was infused with history. But now history for her is that her congressional seat will come to a close at the end of this year, and it really is the end of a legacy for the Cheney family here in Wyoming as well. Her father and mother, Lynn Cheney, were watching her speech last night just a short distance from the stage, and I was looking at them as they were looking at their daughter, and certainly the end of an era for the Cheneys in a very different Republican Party here in Wyoming and indeed across the country.
The end of an era for the Cheneys, for the Bushes, for the Clintons. Trump vanquished Jeb Bush in the 2016 Republican primary. Then he vanquished Hillary Clinton in the general. And now he's vanquished Liz Cheney in the district she was from. You look at where her money came from. A lot of George W. Bush loyalists from Texas. A lot. Karl Rove, Karen Hughes, Harriet Myers, Ross Perot's son. Oh, they hate Trump, and they just got whipped.
Smart devices.
Whipped. Put the H before the W. They got whipped.
Every single one of them.
To your ears.
Whipped.
This is the Michael Berry Show.
Lisa Murkowski is a complicated character, much like Susan Collins in Maine. Murkowski comes from a prominent family there that has a lot of connections. There are not a lot of votes cast in Alaska. Last night, you got what, 127, 136, 140, about 145,000 votes cast in the Republican primary to be the senator there. It's not very big. So a prominent family can be a juggernaut because they literally know that many people in a state with that few people. So Lisa Murkowski lost the primary years ago and still ran in the general election and managed to beat the Republican candidate by picking up a lot of Democrats. Very similar to what Liz Cheney did. She just didn't have very many Democrats to choose from. Well, Trump backed this woman, Kelly Shabaka, and she got really close to beating Lisa Murkowski. I should probably explain, Alaska has a blanket nonpartisan primary, and the top four advance. Well, the top candidate was Lisa Murkowski with 66,000, 43% of the vote. Kelly Shabaka was at 61,000. I only say that because Murkowski is one of those Republicans that holds us hostage, just like Susan Collins. She's one of those Republicans who on quote-unquote women's issues, which murdering a baby, for instance, she will end up playing footsies with the left. She's not reliable. She doesn't represent the base, but she's got a lot of power. Just like Liz Cheney, she's got a lot of power and a lot of money behind her. That's going to be a seat we've got to win. It's not a flip. It's not turning a Democrat to a Republican, but it's turning a rhino into a candidate and an office holder we can be proud of. We're going to have to fight these fights. We're going to have to win these fights. We're going to have to fund them. We're going to have to block walk. We're going to have to beat a lot of Republicans with better Republicans. That's internal. That's internecine. That's unpleasant. Nobody likes it, but it's true. We've got to get the John Cornyns out. We've got to get the Mitt Romneys out. We've got to get the Crenshaws out. We've got to get the guys out that keep turning against us and trashing us and saying that we're dangerous. We got to get the guys who've declared war on Trump out because they've declared war on you. There is a group called Citizens for Sanity. I'd never heard of them before. But they are running TV newspaper and billboard ads in battleground congressional districts. I want you to listen to this ad. I'm going to post it to my Facebook page. Oh, they'll take it down. I'm going to post it anyway. You can go to my Facebook page, or you can go to our site, our blog, michaelberryshow.com, and see it for yourself. The audio doesn't do it justice, because when they show the dude, it's a dude. It's a dude dressed up as a girl, like the guy that won the swimming competition. Listen to this ad.
She trains at 6 a.m. every morning. She spent years working to shave off seconds. She's the captain of her school's team. He's just a mid-pack finisher. But not today. Unfortunately, this competition was over before it even began. Woke left-wing politicians are destroying girls' sports. Tell Biden and his radical allies, no men in girls' sports.
These are the issues that Republicans should be cramming down their throats. Democrats are destroying your schools. Democrats are taking the trophy away from your daughter who worked hard to win and giving it to a boy. Play that ad again. When you see this, it starts with this little girl early in the morning. Young lady. She's not a little girl. She's a young lady. She's probably in high school. And she's showing up to work out early to shave time, to shave a second or half a second off of her time so that she can win gold for the state and get a scholarship to go to Columbia and compete. But instead, some dude who wouldn't have even placed if he was a guy, some dude comes in, and because he's built bigger and stronger, because he's a man, wins the gold and she doesn't. And too many parents are sitting around and allowing this to happen. If every father of daughters and every mother of daughters would fight back against this nonsense, we'd never lose an election. This same group has been played again, Ramon, please.
She trains at 6 a.m. every morning. She spent years working to shave off seconds. She's the captain of her school's team. He's just a mid-pack finisher. But not today. Unfortunately, this competition was over before it even began. Woke left-wing politicians are destroying girls' sports. Tell Biden and his radical allies, no men in girls' sports.
Group is putting up billboards like, violent criminals deserve our compassion and respect. This fall stands strong for progressive values. They've got another one that's getting a lot of attention. This says, protect pregnant men from climate discrimination. Another one they're running, open the jails, open the borders, close the schools, vote progressive this November. These guys are good. You can see the absurdity of men playing women's sports. Every father of a daughter can see that directly. 20 years ago, hell, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have seen a commercial like this. When will it stop? We wouldn't have needed to. What's next? A man boxing women in the Olympics?
Welcome back to NBC's coverage of the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio. We're very excited about this next match because we're about to make Olympic history.
That's right. Today's female boxing event between the United States and Russia will feature two of the most incredible female athletes in the world.
One of them, Rebecca Johnson, is a veteran female boxer with over a decade of experience. Standing at 5'9", 115 pounds, she is incredible.
The other boxer, Joanna Big Joe Boystoff, has 15 years of boxing experience but has only been a woman for about 3 months.
Can you believe it? The first transgender female boxer in Olympic history.
She is so brave and stunning to make such a bold lifestyle change so close to the Summer Olympics.
Yes, she truly is. Just a lovely looking woman. Standing at 6'5", 250 pounds, and she is all girl.
She sure is.
Just think, today on this historic day, we're about to see a great fight between two fantastic boxers. One of them, one of the best female boxers on earth with an undefeated record.
And the other one has only been a female since earlier this year.
It looks like the fight's about to begin. And there they go.
And Rebecca is down.
That was quick. One swift punch from Big Joe Boytsov, and Rebecca Johnson is out cold.
And that's the match. Joanna Boytsov wins.
A perfect victory. Wow. Who could have seen this coming?
Frankly, I'm surprised. Rebecca Johnson was out there for 15 seconds. That's 14 seconds longer than most experts predicted this fight was going to last.
Michael Berry Show.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Liz Cheney was a proxy last night for the Never Trumpers. And Harriet Hageman was a proxy for people who want our government back, who also support Trump. And CNN had to admit it. It hurt them to do it. Don Lemon was heading a panel on the primary elections last night. We have audio of two of the panelists. I'll play them separately. The first one is a woman named Nia Malika Henderson. Well, I don't want to assume she's a woman. She just looks like a woman. She's a senior political reporter for CNN. And she said it was a good night for Trump.
I think overall this was a very good night for Donald Trump, a very good night for Trumpism. He is sending a message to anyone who is in office that if you cross me, your career in politics in the Republican Party is over. I think he's like 8-2 in terms of the people who voted to impeach him, either retired or lost to have won, and we'll see if they go on to win in November. So he is doing quite well. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to exact his revenge against folks like Liz Cheney. He was able to do that. She obviously is taking her own pound of flesh as well with the January 6th committee. But this was a good night for Donald Trump and all of his allies.
But what she fails to say is that everything is not about Trump. This was also a good night for the people of Wyoming. People tell me all the time they want term limits. Both parties say they want term limits. And I always say you have them. It's called elections. We should celebrate when an incumbent loses. The incumbent has all the money. They've got all the lobbyists. They've got the franking privilege. You know, they can do mail free. If you're an outsider, if you're a challenger, it's hard to beat an incumbent. It almost never happens. We should celebrate that the process won. The people won. Whether you like Trump or not, you should recognize that a congressman who never comes back to her district won't come back to her district. Ever. That woman lost. That the people spoke. That votes matter. That's what we should be talking about. Not just Trump. But they got Trump on their brain. They got Trump brain. And I'll get to that in a moment. Because Joe Biden has Trump brain, too, and you'll hear that. But the other person was Dana Bash. And I wish Rush Limbaugh was still around to trash her, because he did it better than anybody. She's the chief political correspondent for CNN. And she agrees that this is Trump's party, but Liz Cheney ain't done yet.
The Republican Party, I mean, not that we didn't know this before, but this is one more data point, a big data point, when you see that a Cheney lost so big in Wyoming, and it is Trump's party. I mean, that's just what it says, and it said it for a long time. But I do think when we're looking at, like, what's next and where does she take this from here, I think that we need to think about the term campaign in a non-traditional way, because we think about campaign as I'm running for office, or, you know, I want this to happen. I want this for myself. And I'm not saying that she's not, you know, she is a politician and she wants to have a say in public discourse. But she also is a very famous person who will use her megaphone and her platform to keep saying the kind of thing that she said. And she will get attention. She will get a lot of attention.
You know why she'll get a lot of attention? Because you're going to give her all the attention. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to give her all the attention. CNN is going to make Liz Cheney a daily talking point. And as long as she will trash Trump, they will let her talk to her heart's content. They will absolutely let her talk to her heart's content, trashing Trump. Because then they can say she's a Republican trashing Trump. A Republican that nobody likes or votes for. No, nobody's voting for her. Her dad said, if there's only two people, her mom and me, voting for her, we're still proud of her. Well, that was practically true. Her mom and you and all the Democrats that are your new buddies. How's that working out for you? How is that working out for you? Must be great. I hope you're proud. I hope this is what you wanted. I hope this is, you've made your bedfellow a bunch of damn Democrats. Bully for you. Congratulations. They've all got Trump on the brain. I want you to listen to Joe Biden talking about big drug companies. But he says big Trump companies because he's obsessed with Trump.
Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interest in this vote. Every single one. In fact, the big drug companies spent nearly $100 million to defeat this bill. $100 million.
Is Donald Trump living inside Joe Biden's head, or is Joe Biden trying to connect Trump with Big Pharma ahead of the midterms? Play it again. Let's decide.
Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interest in this vote. Every single one. In fact, the big drug companies spent nearly $100 million.
I think Trump is living inside Biden's head, but of course, the man has a, I don't know what's in his head, because he has a tendency to forget where he is.
And you get in the car, and there's a little frost on the window, turn on the windshield wiper, there'd be an oil slick. Not a joke. I have asthma, and 80% of the people who, in fact, we grew up with have asthma. You had to put on your windshield wipers to get literally the oil slick off the window. That's why I and so damn many other people I grew up have cancer.
To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust. Relate to infrastructure. How many unsafe bridges you still have here in the state of Ohio? I mean, Iowa. And I was just in Ohio because they have more.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was a
End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and or political or political power.
By the way, my sympathies to the family of your CFO, who dropped dead very unexpectedly. My best to their family. It's tough stuff.
I'm also proud to have signed an executive order on my first day in office to combat discrimination against LGBTQI plus Americans.
The older Joe Biden gets, the more he becomes a rambling man.
One of the things is that it's very difficult now to have a, even with notable exceptions, even the really good reporters, they have to get the number of clicks on nightly news. Mm-hmm. So instead of asking a question, anyway, it just, everything gets sensationalized in ways that, but I'm convinced we can get through this. We have to get through it.
Don't mess around with any old rambling man.
Look, here's where we are. We have the fastest growing economy in the world. Inflation is the bane of our existence.
Rambling man. Don't mess around with any old rambling man.
We often get asked, look, the Republicans don't play it square. Why do you play it square?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If we do the same thing they do, our democracy would literally be in jeopardy.
Snowflakes.
Did I trigger you?
Prepare for a complete meltdown. With more of The Michael Berry Show.
Last week we told you the story that the BBC is now doing a news segment in print using pidgin English. And I don't mean pidgin English like when you were a kid and you would make up your own little, ixnay to elte. I mean pidgin English as it is known, P-I-D-G-I-N, as the language of parts of Africa and the Caribbean. But it's hilarious because they take the same story and they reduce it to this sort of street jargon vernacular. Kind of like when they pushed Ebonics here. Remember that big push? We're going to teach our kids Ebonics. No, we're going to teach our kids English. You embrace a spoken style that is associated with a lack of sophistication and use of the language in traditional norms. Not everybody is going to go, oh, well, that's cute. He's just speaking that pidgin English. But we couldn't help but think, wouldn't it be fun if we started our own pidgin English news report? And so we've been taking news of the day and making pidgin news out of them. I won't need to keep introducing this because we're going to keep doing it because humor is the best way to make a point. And so here is our pidgin news report on the stabbing of Salman Rushdie.
Hey man, welcome back to the BBC Pigeon News, you heard? Aight, let's go. The Islamic Republic of Iran done said them no get any link with Salman Rushdie attacker, as them blame the writer for what happened to him. In case you don't know, one man interstage from one event in New York State and stabbed 75-year-old Rushdie 10 times for face, neck and abdomen. The writer been they face over 30 years of death threats from in 1980 novel The Satanic Verses. Them call it a fatwa, man. Earlier, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken accused Iran state media, say them they happy about the attack, and them condemn this kind of behavior. Da man, that be cold-blooded, you heard? That be it for now. Until next time, I...
Oh, yeah, more, yeah. Kill all the white man.
So there has long been... And this is the kind of thing, I understand this makes people cringe. This makes you very uncomfortable because you don't like to talk about this. So you just sit and go, it's kind of like when you drive past a really, really brutal, bloody traffic accident, a wreck, and you talk about how everybody rubberneck, you wish they'd quit rubbernecking, but you do it too. But the way we feel better about the fact that we really, really are nosy and want to see what's there is we go, oh, that's just terrible. Oh, because as long as we express sadness, then we're not, you know, we're not gaining utility out of looking to see all the gross things. We could look away, but we're not going to. But as long as we go, oh, that's so true. I feel so bad. As long as we say, I feel so bad, it's okay that we did this, right? Well, what I'm about to say makes people uncomfortable, but it needs to be said. I told the story yesterday about the two coaches that got into an argument at a football game for nine-year-olds, and one shoots and kills the other one. I mean, this is crazy. And Jason Whitlock, writing for the Blaze, happens to be a black man who's frustrated by all this, and he talks a lot about these sorts of things, and he says this reflects cultural rot. This is a kind of thing that's not being discussed often enough. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Having two black children, I am very conscious of how they are raised and what is expected of them, what they think of themselves and what other people think of them. I want them held to a higher standard, not a lower standard. I often tell them, you're going to have to be better than the white kids. Do you know why? Because the expectation is you're not smart. The expectation is you can't handle the academics. If you succeed, the expectation is that your race will have been something that elevated you. That's the world we live in. That's not going to change. Don't be angry. Be committed. Be motivated. Be better because of it. Commit yourself that whatever you do, you're being watched. And there is a low standard for you. People will think you're not very good. And I will tell you the inverse is true, too. When you are a black kid and a coach drafts you onto his baseball, football, basketball team, especially football or basketball, they expect you to be better. And if you're not, they're disappointed. They're more disappointed because they had an expectation for you. I was talking to a long time, 30-something year police officer the other day. And he had gotten into an argument with a colleague of his. And the colleague had said, I don't think it's any harder for blacks than it is whites. if you're driving down the street. And he said, I'm a white officer, and I can tell you I'm more likely to pull over a black guy. And if there's two black kids walking along the street at midnight versus two white kids, I'm more likely to pull up on the black kids. He goes, I can't help that. I'm going to tell you that that's the reality. That is the truth, because I've arrested more black kids than I have white kids committing crimes. And after a period, you become conditioned to that. That becomes habitual. It's not a prejudice necessarily or a bias. It is a learned response. And that's what's frustrating for the law-abiding, upstanding black guy, that a cop seeing him walk down the street is going to think he's not a good person because the cops arrested 32 black guys that day. That's the reality we live in. Is the answer not to arrest the black guy who is committing a crime? So that's why we make a lot of jokes about this issue, is because sometimes in humor you can make points that land. You can throw punches that land. You can make a difference without it being quite so awkward. And the fact that you want to laugh tells you that this is a discomforting conversation. But when you look at the numbers of how bad life is for blacks in America statistically, and it's bad decisions, it's cultural rot, it's fatherless homes, it's poor performance, it's violence, it's drug use, it's drug dealing, it's a number of these things. If you actually care and want to fix it, then you got to start confronting it. You got to get comfortable talking about it, right? Just like they don't want you to talk about how monkeypox is spread because it'll upset the gays. Well, what would you rather, not be upset and have blisters all over your butthole and face? Or maybe be a little offended, but be advised as to what behaviors are going to cause this so you can avoid them. How about we act like adults here? And it never hurts to laugh. It never hurts to laugh. And that is why we bring you Shirley Q. Liquor.
How you doing? This is Shirley Q. Liquor with today's birthday and anniversary. I want to wish a very happy birthday this morning to Penelope and Arrhythmia. They are twins, and this is their fifth birthday. Their mama supposed to take them down to McDonald's, get them a Happy Meals. Doc Clark's a Cecily, she turned 8 today, and she getting her first earrings pierced it up in her head. And Absorbing Jr., his mama say he turning 13 as far as she know, and crazy in hell. Okay, as far as anniversary, Gamonia and Clarence been married for 20-something years. They going to go ahead and celebrate tonight down there at the club. They forgot their certificate, but she remember it was sometime when it was hot, so it's probably about this time. Ooh, and you know what I had heard? Sharon Aquisha Kanelica, they said she have done eloped it with Devon Champlain, and they were disappearing since last night, but his Cadillac was spotted at the motel. I give that one 2 weeks, honey. As soon as they both sober up, they're going to realize that was ignorant, and they're going to have to get it a nudge. And let's see, on this day in history, 5 years ago today, Chanel DeJenkins moved in upstairs with her 500-pound butt. Lord, my ceiling ain't never been the same since me done got cracked it all up in it. Nobody have even saw that woman, but every time she take a bath, I get nervous. Well, all right then, have a happy day, and tell your mama I asked her how she doing.
The Czar of Talk Radio, The Michael Berry Show.
Almost broke my hip. She was getting down. That chick was getting down. She wanted to fuck some more, but I told her no. You don't knock me down once. You don't knock me down once. Said if you want to dance, find you a big fat man. Y'all go and get on down. Y'all go and get on down. Ha! I ain't gonna fuck no more with no big fat woman.
Believe that the 2020 election was stolen, and you say so publicly, your government is concerned that you might be a DVE, What is a DVE, Zara? A domestic violent extremist. A source inside the Department of Homeland Security has leaked an internal memo to Project Veritas. Project Veritas has a Department of Homeland Security whistleblower, they say. Listen to this.
Breaking news, a source within the Department of Homeland Security has leaked to us an intelligence bulletin marked for official use only, unclassified, in light of the FBI raid on President Trump. This document, dated August 12th, refers to a heightened threat from what the Department of Homeland Security calls DVEs, or domestic violent extremists, quote, motivated by a range of ideologies who have grievances against a variety of targets, including law enforcement. Domestic violent extremists are referred to in one of these paragraphs as, quote, many of these threats include references to the perception that the 2020 presidential election was fraudulent and other claims of government overreach. The 2022 midterms in this document are also highlighted as a potential, quote, flashpoint for this violent extremism. We would not have this document, but not for the brave source inside Department of Homeland Security, a new source that reached out to us on our tip line, veritastips@protonmail.com, and also our Signal cell phone. We're getting a lot of sources within the federal government coming to Project Veritas, because they certainly can't go to places like the Washington Post or the New York Times, who quote these people on background and show you no documents at all. Now, the Department of Homeland Security has declined to confirm the existence of this document, but you can see it with your own eyes and ears, which is certainly not something the mainstream media wants you to necessarily see, but you can see it here and you can see it at our website. As you may recall, 2 weeks ago, a source in the FBI, a different source, sent us a series of documents revealing that the agency was categorizing patriotic symbols that are very common as indicators of, quote, militia violent extremism. And as Ted Cruz pointed out in the hearing, cross-examining Christopher Wray, the Gadsden flag, this bow tie, if I were to wear it, the FBI would consider it an indication of militia violent extremism. And as Senator Cruz so eloquently articulated, Christopher Wray, what are you doing?
Senator Rand Paul, you will remember, warned us that we needed to be careful when the government starts talking about domestic terrorists.
We have to be very careful about when they start talking about domestic terrorism. The last time we did this was the Patriot Act, and they said, oh, we're only going to spy on foreigners. But it turns out they were spying on every American. They were cataloging every American's phone call. So now when they say domestic terrorists, you have to realize, see, I've been willing to say there was fraud in the election. I don't know if it was enough fraud, because I don't think we did enough investigation as to whether it would have overturned the election. I'm agnostic. Ooh. But we should investigate it. We should want to know. And so I plan on going to 35, 40 state legislatures and trying to get them to fix their laws. But is that now something that I'm not allowed to say, and that I will be wanted by authorities or by the domestic terrorism police? Because I might say, oh, my goodness, I think somebody might have stole the election. I think there might have been fraud. So is it not okay to have an opinion in our country anymore? This started with the global warming extremists. Now it's gone to election fraud. What is the next subject where you're not allowed to have an opinion that contradicts the liberals?
The FBI raiding Donald Trump's home. The January 6th commission. Over 50 people who did nothing more in almost every case than show up at the Capitol, including an old woman with cancer, and walk around, being sentenced to prison, one of them for 7 years. This is real. This isn't tinfoil stuff. We're fast approaching the day where we won't be able to turn this back. There'll be too few of us and too many of them. Too much power in their hands and too little in ours. The moment these conversations start, they have to be stopped. You have to. Were they going to implement domestic terror squads to go around arresting anyone that could be considered a threat? Like what, veterans, NRA members, MAGA protesters, people that show up to a Trump speech?
1 Adam 12, no warrant. Lincoln X-ray, Ida 483. 1 Adam 12, a 415 fight group with chains and knives.
Friday.
Friday, July 17th, 0400 hours. Just another routine day here for the anti-domestic terror squad.
Yeah, today we're going to be cracking down on some suspected domestic terrorists right here in our own town.
That's right. This guy we're investigating used to be a Navy SEAL over in Iraq. Now he's back at home running a so-called auto mechanic business.
A real nut job, this guy. He served his country overseas, and I understand he's also an NRA member. But don't worry, we'll take care of him.
Hey guys, welcome to Mike's Garage. You officers need us to take a look at your car?
Yeah, right. Garage. Sure.
Go ahead and save the funny business, wise guy. We know what you're up to.
What? What we're up to? Well, we're basically a full-service auto mechanic specializing
in... Yeah, sure you are, you sick domestic terrorist scum.
You can't fool us, you right-wing extremist.
Hey, what the hell? Am I under arrest or something?
You know what you did. Put your hands on the car.
Yeah, you probably thought you were going to get away with it too, didn't you? You can't just come home from the war and think you're going to get a hero's welcome, you sick bastard.
Home from the war? I think you guys are looking for Mike.
Yeah, Mike's Garage. Isn't that you?
Oh, no. Mike's off today. He took his kids to the beach, and I'm covering for him.
So, you were never in the military?
Nope.
Oh. Well, then, have a good day, sir.
1 Adam 12, no 1. Lincoln X-ray, Ida 483. 1 Adam 12, 415 Fight Group. With keys and knives.
This is...
Kuwait Radio. What's the name you say? Michael.
County, our county judge, the mayor of the county, we call her the Comandante because she's on a power kick. Her top three aides are under indictment right now. And she is obsessed with monkeypox, just as she was obsessed with COVID. Well, now we have a case of a two-year-old child who is, quote, presumptive positive for monkeypox. I don't even want to know how that happens. Now we've had a case of a dog that got monkeypox from a gay couple. Lord knows, hide the peanut butter. And now we've got a two-year-old child with monkeypox. And now they're talking about vaccinating six-month-olds for monkeypox. We know how monkeypox is spread. How about we not vaccinate and instead not be perverts? Good grief, but they can't say this because they're so afraid of offending the perverts. Don't have sex with dogs or children, and stop having random anonymous sex with people you don't know. It's not just monkeypox blisters you're getting on your butthole. It's not just the monkeypox. There's all sorts of other crap you're spreading. This is not healthy behavior. Stop it. Just stop it. What's next? We're gonna have a monkeypox alert. You know, the World Health Organization, even though the board told the head of the World Health, we don't believe this is a pandemic. It's a gay STD. It is. That's not anti-gay. It's not homophobic to say it's a gay STD. They so desperately want non-gay people to get it, so then nobody will think it's a gay STD. But it is. It is. And so... the World Health Organization, global pandemic. No, it's not. Well, the county judge in Harris County, she is on monkeypox alert. She's every day giving the butthole report. And we've decided that since she came up with her whole color-coded system for COVID. She started her own red, yellow, amber, like we were under nuclear threat alert. She created her own system. Every day she'd tell us what level we were. Oh, okay, thank you. You're real smart. You'd know what level. She's created new levels, and people run around. Oh, we're under red. Oh, red. Oh, county judge, because she would know. So we've decided they might as well just come up with a monkeypox alert system. Go ahead and do it.
And now a very important message from the Harris County Department of Public Health. As many of you know, the monkeypox virus is sweeping across the nation. This is a serious health crisis that threatens the well-being of every citizen, not just gay guys, as you've probably been told. That is why Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo has decided to come up with a monkeypox threat level system similar to her color-coded threat level system we previously used for COVID. For now, when we're at threat level chimp, that means the danger of getting monkeypox is relatively low. Threat level spider monkey means you should stay vigilant. Orangutan means you need to minimize contact with paper money and other fabric-like materials, including strangers' bed sheets. While threat level ape means we have a full-blown outbreak. And if and when we eventually reach threat level King Kong, you're basically already dead. So go ahead and have all the gay sex you want. Thank you.
So we make jokes about things not to be mean or humiliate, but because in the midst of laughter, we can have conversations about things that make us uncomfortable. And that's why I find it interesting that people are so uncomfortable talking about monkeypox, which means, A, they're afraid of upsetting gays, which is dumb, and B, they're uncomfortable with how monkeypox is being spread, which is gay sex. But from a scientific or medical public health perspective, we still have to be able to have these conversations because it's important. And it's important that we tell the truth and not lie about how this thing is being spread. So interestingly, last week we had a parody song. And we make jokes about everybody. Rednecks, blacks, Asians, Christians, Muslims, Jews, old people, young people, fat people, skinny people, hipsters. You name it, we make jokes. That's what we do. We try to take things that have you so pent up and cause you to laugh about it. Because when you can laugh, you can lower your blood pressure and live a little longer. But some people don't like jokes. It makes them uncomfortable. So this particular parody got me more complaints than I would have expected, including from friends that, oh, that's too far. No, have you looked at the photos of what these blisters look like? These things make herpes look like a pimple. I mean, these blisters are bad. They're really, really bad. If that makes you cringe, then turn the dial. But we made a parody joke to try to get people's attention that this thing is nasty and don't engage in these kinds of behaviors. 2 weeks to spread the spread, to stop the spread. Don't spread for 2 weeks. That's it. Don't spread your cheeks for 2 weeks. Stop this thing. How is it we were able to tell people to wear a mask to stop the spread, which didn't? But we can't tell people, hey, you're having anonymous gay sex. Stop it. Quit. And don't have sex with your dog either, because Fido doesn't need monkeypox. So we made this parody, and it was surprising to me how many people that I knew were uncomfortable with what is designed to elicit laughter. And I think that says more about the people who are bothered, because we make jokes, as I've said, about everything and everyone.
Went to a party, I got drunk, passed out on the floor. It was full of dudes, they got nude, I woke up sick and sore. Monkeypox gave me blisters on my butt. Monkeypox, gay orgies are no fun. All my lesions stain my sheets and I look like I'm the fly. I am a leper, skin is peppered with herpes simplex 9. Monkeypox gave me blisters on my face. Monkeypox, gay orgies are not safe. Went to
a party, I got drunk, passed out on the floor. It was full of dudes, they got nude. I woke up sick and sore. My lesions stain my sheets, and I look like I'm a fly. I am a leper, skin is pepper, with herpes simplex 9. Monkeypox gave me blisters on my butt. Monkeypox, gay orgies are no fun.